appreciated that special. Would you say amen? Amen? Amen. It is good to be back with you folks. And not being biased because I have a new granddaughter to come see, it's good to be here with you folks tonight. I mean this honestly. I love your pastor. I think this is the fourth time I've been here. It's the second time your pastor has asked me to preach, but I think it's the fourth time I've been here in your church and things. And I want to tell you, Mike and Kimmy are back there. My son's back there. They'll tell you this is the truth. I've said this a number of times. If for some reason I was incapacitated and could not pastor anymore, that I would want to be a member of this church right here. Have you heard me say that before? That's a fact. I appreciate your pastor's spirit. I appreciate you folks, this church. Just a wonderful, wonderful group of folks. And boy, you know, when our kids grow up and they move away, boy, we want folks to take care of them like they were their kids. And I feel like that you folks have done that since Catania's been born, and the folks coming by to bring meals and visiting and helping out. It's such an encouragement to a daddy. And I'm talking as a daddy now, not as a pastor. But I sure appreciate this church, appreciate your pastor and his family, and appreciate you folks. I feel honored and privileged to be here tonight. Psalm 62 this evening, if you'd start there. We are going to look at a couple passages of Scripture tonight. It is Wednesday night Bible study, amen? So we're going to look at a couple passages of Scripture tonight. And the truth is, folks, I want to talk to you about something that I'm convinced that, and I don't know everybody in here, but everybody in here has experienced what I'm going to talk about. But I'm afraid it's something that we don't talk about enough. Something that needs to be taught about and discussed. I do want to say tonight, while you're turning to Psalm 62, appreciate my son-in-law, Mike. If he wasn't my son-in-law, I'd want him to be my son. He fits right in with our family. He's good to my daughter. He's a good provider for his family. He's a blessing. Boy, we love having them come up. Preacher, you know this, having a bunch of kids, but when Mike and Kimmy come up to Kansas, and several of our kids live in Oakley and serve the Lord right there in our church with us, and then we have another daughter that lives up in Lincoln, Nebraska, and a lot of times for holidays things, they all get together every night. Our now adult kids gather at our house, and they play games and things around the table. And by the way, always lots and lots of snacks there, and things. But they'll every night, if Mike and Kimmy are in town for a week, at least five of those nights, everybody come over and play games. And nothing does a mom and dad's heart good than seeing all their kids together and laughing and having a good time. And Mike just fits in, is a part of all that, and that is a blessing. Psalm 62. If I said Psalm 62, I want you to turn back one verse to Psalm 61, or to one book to, or one chapter to Psalm 61. I want to read the first three verses to you. I'll tell you my topic in a moment, but I want to tell you tonight, I have been working with my people on Sunday nights on serving others, what it takes to serve others. And what I'm teaching on tonight here hits very close to home for me. I take it very, very seriously, but if we're going to serve others, and I believe that's what God wants for all of us, we're going to have to understand what I'm talking about tonight. Let's read the first three verses of Psalm 61. A psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Now I want you to go back up to verse number 2. And I want you to look right in the middle there. David said at the first, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And then look at this phrase, when my heart is overwhelmed. I don't want you to raise your hand tonight, but I want you to answer me in your mind and your heart tonight. Have you ever just been overwhelmed? I wonder tonight how many are in this room that are overwhelmed even this evening. I'm speaking tonight, and I want you to hear the title now, and don't misunderstand the title. I'm preaching tonight on battling discouragement. Now, I'm not preaching on discouragement. I'm preaching on battling discouragement because there's a big difference. And folks, if you and I don't learn to fight back, to battle discouragement, it never stops at discouragement. Pastor, I've visited some folks. I'm thinking about a man who is in the ministry that I visited in a home. And you know what happened? He got discouraged. And it didn't stay at discouragement. He became depressed. By the way, if you've ever met anybody who is depressed, that's a whole other story. I remember talking to him and talking to him about the ministry, talking to him about the things of God, talking to how good God is, reading Bible verses and praying with him. And he sat there and he looked at me and it was like he was closed off to the world. But before I was done visiting with him, he spent a little time talking to me. And it doesn't sound as organized as I'm making it, but he told me some things that had happened. And what I realized is this man in the ministry had gotten discouraged, and he didn't fight that off. He didn't do anything to prevent that, or nobody came to his side, and he became depressed. I'm going to go to the Lord and pray. We're going to use our Bibles a little bit tonight. I've got several things I want to give you, and I want to do it all in the right amount of time this evening. But I want you to think tonight about this matter of discouragement and how it could affect you. Let's pray, and then we'll speak tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and thank you for the opportunity and privilege to teach and preach your word. And Father, I want to be a blessing to these folks. I appreciate the pastor and the folks here at this church. And Father, I pray that you'd help me to help them. But Father, I need you to help me to say all the words that need to be said, but only those words. And Father, when we're done tonight, I pray that we would say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. So meet with us now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. By the way, pray for me tonight. I wear glasses when I preach, and I left my glasses back at Mike and Kimmy's house, so I've got the message right here. So I did tell Kyle, my youngest son who's with me, that if I come to a point where I stall out, Pastor, just so you know this, that Kyle's going to come tag off with me, and he's going to finish the message. So Kyle said if I said that tonight that he was going to slip out the back before the message was over. So let's talk about battling discouragement, folks. When my heart is overwhelmed, David said this, that he was going to cry unto the Lord. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you discouraged? Have you ever been discouraged? I talked to somebody, a preacher one time, and I think he kind of said this tongue-in-cheek, but he said this, you know, I would love the ministry, Brother Braun, if it wasn't for the people. You realize, folks, the ministry is people. And by the way, when we work with people, we will begin to have expectations. And by the way, there's many people that have expectations of us. At one time or another, we've let them down, but people will eventually let us down. If there's one thing I've learned in the ministry, I've been a chaplain for about 10 years now. I work with Olympic athletes out of the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. And I had to take some chaplain courses, Pastor, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend a lot of things that I had to learn in taking those chaplain courses, but one of the things that I have learned in working with athletes who have goals to be world champions and Olympic champions and things, I mean, I realized it's not just them, it's all of us, that when we meet people, we need to meet people where they're at and not where we expect them to be. And here's what I mean by that. I mean that I don't stand here and say, well, if you come to me, I will help you. If you will take this step to me, then I will pray for you, or I will work with you in some way. Wherever they're at, I need to go meet them there. But we begin to have expectations, and our expectations become disappointed, and we get discouraged. By the way, sometimes we get discouraged by our own failures. And sometimes we get discouraged about circumstances beyond our control. The Christian life can be discouraging because we work so closely with people, as I said. By the way, I think this is wonderful, but I know your church meets like our church does. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, a midweek service. You have a men's prayer breakfast this Saturday. You have other things going on, soul winning and other gatherings, and we're together a lot. And by the way, the truth is, when we get together as much as we do, sometimes our blemishes show, and we realize that we're not perfect, just like I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, and sometimes if we're not careful, we get discouraged by other people. The word discourage is mentioned 7 times in our King James Bible, but it's alluded to all through the Bible, like in Psalm 61, when my heart is overwhelmed, David was talking about being discouraged. I want you to turn over now to 1 Kings chapter 19. We want to look at somebody who got discouraged. 1 Kings 19. A couple years ago, Pastor, in my own personal study, I'm not talking about my daily devotions, I'm not talking about sermon preparation, but in my own personal study, I spent an entire year studying the life of Elijah, one of my heroes of the faith. Remember what I said? When we get around each other a lot, and Elijah and I spent a lot of time together through the Word of God, I was reminded of 1 Kings chapter 19. I want you and I to read together the first several verses here. And I want to make some comments about those things. And do you remember what just happened? Elijah, God told him to pray. Elijah prayed according to James, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then Elijah prayed again, and it rained. In between there, God had Elijah on a journey where God fed him by the ravens and fed him by a widow woman. And God had Elijah do several miracles and things. And then God had Elijah show back up, and he had a confrontation with the prophets of Baal. And God gave a mighty victory when Elijah prayed fire down from heaven, and God showed that he was the one and true and only God. And what a victory that was. 1 Kings chapter 18. Now don't go back to 1 Kings 18 and read that story now. Follow with me, 1 Kings 19. So this is right after this happened, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. By the way, it's amazing to me. Think about all that happened there. The prophets of Baal, all 400 of them, they prayed all day and nothing happened. Elijah prayed. God sent fire down from heaven. He accepted that sacrifice. And the Bible tells how God burned up that sacrifice and showed that he was real. The only thing that Ahab got out of all this is that Elijah had slain the prophets with the sword. He didn't see the great miracle that God had done. But then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And let's stop there on this. Now, as I said, I studied the life of Elijah for a whole year. Well, I had the opportunity to preach in a college chapel service, a preacher over in North Carolina, that same year I was studying Elijah, and I preached on 1 Kings 18. And by the way, if you can't get fired up in college chapel, I don't know of any place you can get fired up at. The fellas, the preachers in there, I was preaching about Elijah calling down fire from heaven, and man, the fellas were climbing the walls. I mean, yelling amen and going crazy over all that Elijah had done. And by the way, rightly so. What happened is a great story, but the same man that was in chapter 18 also was in chapter 19. Let me give you a couple things about Elijah here that I don't want you to miss out on. Number one, Elijah worried about what somebody said. Listen to me. If you're going to work for God, folks are going to talk about you. And it isn't always going to be positive. Elijah began to worry about what somebody said. When we get there, folks, we are headed for discouragement. We live in a small town. Everybody knows everybody there. I was working out at the gym, and somebody pointed out to somebody else there, huh, that's the Baptist preacher. He's over there lifting weights. I still don't see the connection. They're right. You're right. That's the Baptist. He's over here lifting weights. But they said it. They threw stink on it like somehow I did or said something wrong. You know, when we begin to, you know, maybe I shouldn't go to the gym anymore, preacher, because folks are criticizing me. Yeah, it's the Baptists again. They're on our street. They're hanging their door hangers on our doors. They're talking to our folks. I've heard that before. Yeah, we know about you Baptists, you loud shouting preachers. People have left messages on our phone at the church and things like that. You know, when I begin to worry about what people say, preacher, I'm headed for discouragement. By the way, let me say this. When people are kind to you and they compliment you, don't let that go to your head. Just like when they criticize you, don't let that go to your heart. Be balanced in the middle. Elijah worried about what people said. Secondly, Elijah wanted to be alone. Look at verse number 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Now look at the very next verse. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. You know what I thought about, preacher, that I hadn't thought about and studied at this time? Imagine how his servant was so impressed with Elijah when he called fire down from heaven. And now that same Elijah says, you stay here. I don't want to be around you. I'm going to be alone. I don't want to be around people right now. Elijah wanted to be alone. You know, I can tell when people are headed for dessert, preacher. I just can't do church today. It's been a rough week. Things aren't going well. The folks that I invited out to church didn't end up coming to church. It's been a bad week at work and things. Preacher, I just can't do church today. And you know what I realize? I'm talking to somebody that is headed for discouragement. Yeah. Thirdly, Elijah wanted to die. By the way, let me say this. I think when a person gets discouraged, they don't always think rationally. And I don't know that Elijah wanted to die. I do know he didn't want to live in the condition he was in. I said earlier that this message is, this thought is really personal to me. In 2008, I was in a car accident, got a chipped vertebrae in my neck, and the doctor was giving me pain pills and muscle relaxers. And because of the pain and trying to decide how they were going to treat it and things like that, I was taking those and taking those regularly. And Pastor McMath, I wish I could tell you exactly what happened, but in November of 2008, something just changed in me. I couldn't sleep at night. I panicked. I'd wake up in the middle of the night having panic attacks. I believe the prescription medicines had a lot to do with it. That's why I brought those things up to you. But just got discouraged. And I remember I went to a doctor where I was pastoring at the time. I wasn't in Oakley at that time, but I went to a doctor where I was pastoring at the time, and he was a Christian doctor and a good man. And he and I were talking, and I told him I would rather go to heaven than feel this hurt that I feel, and I'm not talking about my neck. And he stopped what he was doing and looked up at me and said, should I be concerned about you? And I said, no, not like you're thinking. But I wish I could describe the pain that I'm feeling on the inside. My family struggled with this. It took quite a while for this. But bottom line now, looking back over a decade later, I got discouraged. There's some things going on in the ministry. Preacher, I was pastoring in Georgia during the boom. We had 13 solid families in our church, besides a lot of other folks, and in a couple months, 11 heads of households became unemployed. One of the men who was part of the $1 million Realtors Club, which means he sold $1 million worth of realty property every year, was working in the McDonald's drive-thru. You know, it's one thing to get your salary cut, but I had to cut my own salary by 4/5 of what I was making. I want you to think about that. If I was making $100, I now was making $20. I mean, I had to do it to try to keep the church afloat. These things were going on. Same time that I had the car accident, I was taking the pain medications, which probably wasn't wise the way I was taking them, maybe not responsible, but just a number of things, and it began to cause discouragement. You know, Elijah came to a place that he got discouraged, that he just didn't want to live. He no longer wanted to live like that, according to verse number 4. He said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Working as a chaplain at the Olympic Training Center, I could give you three names tonight. I'm not going to. I could give you three names tonight that everybody in here would recognize. A famous gymnast, a famous swimmer, and another famous athlete that probably everybody would recognize, who have been on suicide watch in the hospital. I'm talking about the most decorated American Olympian in history. And I spent 24 hours with him on suicide watch at age 27. Discouragement. Number four. Elijah was tired and hungry. You know, I was taught when I first got saved, there's several times when you ought not to be making decisions, and two of them were on those things right there. By the way, how many of you ladies know you shouldn't go shopping when you're hungry? Yeah. If you're a budget, you don't. Not if you're trying to not go over that. It's the same type of thing, folks, about making decisions when we're tired. Elijah was tired and hungry. He was spiritually wore out. Got discouraged. Number five. Boy, look at verse, by the way, that was verse number five. Elijah was tired and hungry. Look at verse number seven. Don't miss this. I'm going to read it to you, and that's why I wanted you to turn with me. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Elijah forgot that although the journey was too great for him, it wasn't too great for God. I just can't do this anymore. The truth is, folks, when we're working with people, by the way, since post-COVID days, pastor friend, Brother Crenshaw, that you know, he said, Brother Braun, if I sent some preachers your way, do you think you could help them? And asked me about some things about health and eating and dieting and different things like that. And he said, and over the last couple years, probably a half a dozen fellas I've talked to and tried to encourage them in the matter of keeping up their own health and doing some things to be healthy and things, because that plays a big part in this. This matter of thinking that we by ourselves are all alone. Boy, when we feel that way, folks, we're discouraged. You can't do it alone. Let me clear up the mystery for you. You can't do it by yourself. Sunday school teacher, you can't do it by yourself. Staff member, you can't do it by yourself. Pastor, you can't do it by yourself. But God can. Elijah, that you can't make this journey. It's too great for you, Elijah. But with God's help, you can. Number of preachers, I started to say, that are insecure about the work since COVID. Churches' numbers are down. People have stayed home. There was a lot more going on than a virus that was going around spiritually that the devil used to hurt churches. And there's a lot of churches and a lot of people who are faithful to God's work that have been hurting now for some time, discouraged about things. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? You can't, but God can. Let me give you one more thing about Elijah quickly. Elijah thought he was the only one, verse number 10. My. By the way, I read a missionary story years ago. I know the pastor that wrote this true missionary story. But in there, he talked about how lions hunt. You've probably seen this on the Nature Channel. But wildebeest or impalas or something like that, a lion will chase the pack, or a group of them will chase the pack until one gets separated from the pack, and that's the one they go after. The Bible tells you and I in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7 Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because the devil's a roaring lion. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Do you know what he's looking for? A loner? Somebody who is in the corner by themselves, somebody who thinks they're the only one, somebody who has separated themselves from the pack or from the crowd, and they become bait for Satan. Elijah thought he was the only one. Now I've chosen the order of things very carefully, but can I give you the definition of the word discouragement? It means to dishearten, to depress, or to deject. It means to deprive of confidence. But you know what I saw, and I guess I knew this or should have known this. Do you know what the opposite of discouragement is? Courage. And you know what I thought? Boy, that's true. But you know what? It takes courage for folks to get up and sing a special. It takes courage for folks to get up and teach a Sunday school class. It takes courage to talk to folks about the Lord week after week after week. And you know what happens? Sometimes we say, you know what, Pastor? Boy, it's just not in me. Remember when I said that? Pastor, I just can't do the church thing today. Boy, I just don't feel like talking to folks about the Lord today. Do you know what they're lacking? Courage. Take your Bibles, turn to Numbers 21. I want to show you something, and I'm pointing out something specific to you. I want to give you a quick test tonight, and then I've got a couple practical things I want to share to encourage you before we're done this evening. All the way back to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Turn to Numbers 21. I said working with people will cause you to be discouraged. Sometimes our own failures, our own shortcomings cause us to be discouraged. Sometimes it's circumstances beyond our control that cause us to be discouraged. Before I read Numbers 21, can I tell you a quick story? I got asked, and I don't have time to tell the whole story, but there's a man in our church that got sentenced to jail. He tells me to this day that he's innocent of the charges, but he served his time in jail. But just right before he went to jail, my son-in-law led him to the Lord. By the way, he got faithful to the Lord in jail. He got out of jail and came immediately to church. He's been in our church now for 3 years and been faithful to come to church. Came from difficult circumstances and things, been faithful to come to church and all. But he called me just a couple weeks ago and said, Pastor Bond, my father died. And here's what he said. My family wants to know, do you do funerals for free? By the way, that's not exactly the way you want to hear that. You know, we'd love you to do my pastor's. Will you do a funeral for free? Well, preachers don't charge money for funerals. We want to be a help and a blessing to folks. And I said, I would be glad to help you. Now listen, I'm coming back to something here. I said, I'd be glad to do his funeral. I thought it would be in Oakley. Brother, it was an hour and a half away. I said... Would I do a funeral? I never met him, never met the dad, but I want to know him before I do his funeral. And so I said, I'd like to get together with you and some of your siblings, and I'd like to be able to talk to you, get to know about your dad and things like that. And he said, well, Dad, we weren't very close with my dad. See, Mom and Dad got divorced when we were young. We didn't really know Dad and things. And he said, my sister maybe could tell you more than I could. His sister doesn't know the Lord. And I tried contacting his sister over and over and over again. Preacher, the funeral was on Monday, not Monday, but a week ago last Monday. On Sunday afternoon, she contacts me. I don't know if Sunday's a busy day for you or not, but she contacted me on Sunday. And I'm supposed to do the funeral on Monday. Now, I'm not just telling stories, folks. I'm going somewhere. Listen. So I began to talk to her, and she told me the same thing. You know, Dad was not an easy person to be around. Dad left when I was, and she named 9 years old, 10 years old. He and Mom got divorced. Didn't know much about Dad, but now he's passed away, and now we need to have his funeral. I said, okay. And I've preached funerals before where circumstances were kind of like this and grave and things like this. But I said, do you have anything, Jenny, that you can tell me about your father? And she said, well, I have a couple things here that I found in his stuff. Whoever found his stuff. And she said, Pastor Braun, I've got a certificate here that says my dad was baptized in 2014. By the way, he'd have been 51 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, why in the world does a 51-year-old get baptized? Well, she's lost. She doesn't know. And she said, and I said, can you tell me anything about that certificate? And she said, well, it says down here. And she named the church in Wichita, Kansas. And the pastor's name is on there. Jason had told me, the one who's in my church, Jason had told me, you know, Pastor, I wish I'd have been a better testimony. I wish I'd been a better witness to Dad. I wish I'd have done something. I guess I never thought about it. Now it's too late and he's gone and never had a good relationship with him. And he's discouraged about circumstances that he can't control. So in my free time on Sunday afternoon, brother, I called the church in Wichita. I talked to Pastor Martin. Pastor Martin called him by name. He said, I know Robert. He said, Robert came to us, a broken man, difficult situation. We worked with him for a long time. Robert got saved, and a couple months later, Robert got baptized. Robert was faithful to come on Sunday mornings and to come to men's Bible study. His family didn't know anything about it. Brother, at the funeral on Monday, I preached the funeral message from Robert's Bible that the pastor provided. Do you know the word that he had highlighted the most in the New Testament of his Bible, more than any other word? The word love. Robert had a relationship with the Lord. He was saved. His son's discouraged because he wished he'd have been a testimony. He wished he had a relationship with Dad. He getting discouraged about circumstances he knows nothing about. When we dig a little deeper, we find out that his dad was saved. You know, folks, some of the things that we get discouraged about, we have no control over. Instead of getting discouraged, what we ought to do is just trust the Lord. Numbers 21. For time's sake, I just want you to look at verse number 4. And they, that's the children of Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, the Bible tells in Numbers 21 why they went that way. God told them to go that way, to encompass the land of Edom. This is the place that God put them on. They got discouraged because of the trip, but that was the exact path that God had them to be on. Folks, have you ever thought about this? Some of the things that I'm down about, some of the things I'm discouraged about, if I'm doing what God wants me to do, I'm in the perfect place. I'm talking about battling discouragement. Pastor, it seems like this, and it seems like that, and it seems like this. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Hang in there. Now, let me ask you quickly, and we've run out of time a lot faster than I wanted to. Talked about Elijah. I've given you some definition and some Bible verses. I want to give you a quick test, an am I discouraged test. I want to help you out tonight. If Elijah could get discouraged, so could you and I. Number one tonight, do I find myself separating from other people? I just don't feel like shaking hands at church or talking to folks at church today. You're headed for discouragement. Secondly, do I talk about how rough I have it and how nobody seems to care? You're headed for discouragement. By the way, remember, it doesn't stop with discouragement. It leads to depression and causes many more problems. Number 3 tonight, Do I get offended because my service goes unnoticed or nobody thanks me? Number four, have I lost sleep or an appetite because of my circumstances? Number five, do I sometimes feel like God has forgotten me? Number six, do I avoid interacting with people? Number seven, do I often feel like giving up or quitting? Number eight, does my prayer life contain mostly complaints to God? Number nine, do I feel like I'm not enjoying life? You know what those are signs of, folks? The start of discouragement. Now, by the way, if I stopped right now, this is just a pretty grim message. Time is almost up, or probably is up. I want to give you some ways tonight that you ought to battle discouragement, and we'll be done tonight. Amen? Can we do that before we're done? Can I give you some ways that you and I ought to battle discouragement tonight? Folks, this is real. There's a lot of folks that are in church, maybe in church here tonight, that are discouraged. There are sometimes fellows on this side of the pulpit that are very discouraged. We need to realize this is real and where it leads to. Let me give you some things directly from the Bible on how to battle discouragement. Number one, this is going to be very basic. Ask God to help you when you're discouraged. Psalm chapter 30, verse number 10 says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." Boy, when I start to feel that way, first thing I need to do is enlist with God. But you know what has been my experience is a lot of folks, when they have problems and things like that, that's the time they say, "Preacher, I'm not coming to church today." When they ought to be around God's people, how many times have you not read your Bible because you've been down or discouraged? Boy, that's the time when you really need to open that Bible up. Number two, be around encouraging people. Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Be around encouraging people. Boy, this is so important. Choose. Now, by the way, we all ought to be working with folks who are down or discouraged, but then I've got to have that crowd around me that are encouraging and encouragement and upbeat and positive. So we want to reach out to folks, but we want to make sure that crowd that's in our inner circle is that encouraging group of folks. Number three, read your Bible. Psalm 119, verse number 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." You know what that word quickened means. Doesn't mean he got faster than a 100-yard dash. It brought him back to life. The word of God brought him back to life. Pastor, since I've been in Oakley, I've had two folks that have come to my office at different times, separate, completely two separate deals. Both of them told me they were down, they were discouraged. And here's what they said. They were discouraged, and then they named a situation or named a person, and part of that blame was on me. They blamed it. And so in trying to help them and talk to them, and again, these are separate, but one person's in my office, and this is a young person, and began to talk to them a little bit, and here's what they said. "I haven't opened my Bible in 2 years. When you get discouraged, read your Bible. The other one was a married person in our church. Came to me with a list of grievances of things, and those weren't all against me, but I'm the pastor, I'm the leader, so part of the word, but didn't like this, didn't like this, didn't like this. In the course of talking to him, told me that they hadn't opened their Bible or been in their Bible for over 6 months. Is it any wonder that in 2024, neither one of those folks is in church, in my church or any church? When they got discouraged, they turned from the things that were their help. They didn't read their Bible. Number four, protect your heart. Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, there's certain things that I won't read, I won't watch, I won't be around because they discourage me. Listen, folks, in 2024, politics discourage me. You know, folks, that the last thing, just recently I talked to somebody, they talked to me and said, about, boy, they're having some anxiety and some things going on and different things like that. And they said, you know, I go to bed at nights and I can't sleep and things like that. And asked them a little bit about their schedule. Last thing they do before they go to bed is watch the news. I'd be discouraged too. Fellas, can I give you some help here? It may not bother you to watch the news, but it may bother your wife. You ought not to. You ought to turn it off for her sake. Protect your heart. Talk to a preacher friend in the last couple days, last 48 hours. He was just telling me about a situation going on in his church. And here, you know what he said? He said, preacher, I don't want to go into all the details with you. Just want you to pray for us. Going through a difficult time. Want you to pray for us. But he said, I don't want to go into the details because I don't want to discourage myself and I don't want to discourage you. You know what he was doing? He was protecting his heart and protecting mine. Number six. Speak pleasant and positive words. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know what will help you and I much will be the way we talk, what we bring up. You know what? You can go through a bad time and God can still be good. You know something else? Speaking pleasant words or speaking pleasant and positive words is always a help and encouragement to others. When you see somebody that's discouraged or down, how about if you and I speak those positive words to them? It'll be health to their bones also. The next one. This is going to sound offensive. I don't mean it to be. Mind your own business. You know, folks come to me and get all worked up about things that they can't do a thing about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. You realize, preacher, there's some things we got to study to be good at, and one of them is to be quiet and to mind our own business. Had a fellow come to me years ago when I pastored, and he was all bent out of shape about a ministry in Germany. He wanted me to contact a church in Germany about something going on over there. You know, folks, I've got enough going on in little Oakley, Kansas to keep me busy. I don't need to be looking to see what's going on in other people's lives. This whole mind your own business thing, you know what America needs more than anything else from Tim Braun? Is to be the best preacher and the most sincere Christian I can be in 2024. Don't need to march, don't need to protest, don't need to do parades, don't need all this other stuff. I need to be walking with God. Mind your own business. That does kind of sound offensive, doesn't it? Next one, quickly. Take care of yourself physically. Remember what happened to Elijah? He got tired, he got hungry. You know what you find a lot of times, folks, that people that are discouraged. I just read something today. I've got a son that, adult son, Kyle's older brother, who has some terrible physical problems. Last time I was here, I talked to you a little bit about them. We are going to a naturalist doctor who has helped him tremendously. And do you know the only thing she has done is change his diet? You cannot believe the changes that it's made in his life. I was just reading something that she had given just in the last couple days about certain autoimmune diseases and different things, that a strong diet with solid protein and good carbohydrates and fats can help people's cognitive skills, can help their physical skills and these things. And by the way, God's people, sometimes Christians, are the worst at this. I was at a pastor's conference. It's a fellow sitting on the same row as me. I knew who he was. He wrote a book. Maybe if I said his name, you'd know the book or you'd know him. But he wasn't very tall. He was shorter than I was, and he was quite a bit rounder than I was. Big guy, but he was a big guy. There was somebody that was speaking at this pastor's conference, and he talked about preachers taking care of their health. And this fella sitting just in the same row as me said that it was his job to preach the gospel. It was God's job to keep him alive. At 51 years old, that pastor had to have a 5-bypass heart surgery. 51 years old. Preacher, are you older than 51? Are you? So am I. So when I hear stuff like this, he had to have 5-bypass heart surgery. He didn't survive the surgery. Folks, they had a thriving church. He's a good man. So if I came across critical, I didn't mean he was a good man. But he kind of mocked, kind of laughed about this one deal. His church could not find another pastor. A good church doing a good work. A few years later, that church closed its doors. A whole bunch of folks got discouraged because the pastor didn't take care of himself physically. Next one. I've got 3 left and I'm done, folks. Get a proper amount of sleep. Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Get a proper amount of sleep. By the way, if you don't know how much sleep your body needs, you could be headed for discouragement. You know what? I don't know folks in here, most folks in here, you only know me from being in your pulpit. But you know, in every church, there are some folks that get way too much sleep, spend too much time in bed. And that's as detrimental as not getting enough sleep. That's why I said get the proper amount of sleep. Boy, folks, have you ever went and got a good night's rest and went and go took a nap and woke up and your problems didn't seem near as bad as they had before? Yeah, amazing what a little rest will do for you. We're talking about taking care of ourselves physically. I've got 2 more and I'm done. Share the gospel with others. You know, nothing will thrill your soul the opportunity to brag on Jesus a little bit, to give your testimony what God has done for you. You know it works. Well, we get discouraged about our situation. Go share the Lord with somebody. Go give out some gospel tracts. Go tell some folks about the Lord. A week ago today, I set up a meeting. A lady contacted our church from a prayer door hanger we hang on their doors. We hang prayer door hangers. We let folks know we're praying for them. It says, today we prayed for you. We prayed for your finances. We prayed for your family. We prayed for your health. Most of all, we prayed for your spiritual needs. If you have any specific prayer requests, please write them in the blank spot below. Call our church. We'll be glad to come pick it up. We pray for you. It took over 6 months, but we started seeing some results from folks start contacting us. And a lady contacted, set a meeting with me. She came to the church crying. I mean, before she sat down, she was crying. She started telling me her problems before she ever sat down. Preacher, I hope it's not offensive for me to say this, but she was raised her entire life religious. She was raised Church of Christ. She had a ton of problems as long as her arm. And I said, it's obvious to me that we're not going to be able to cover all your problems today. Let's take them one at a time. Let's first talk about your relationship with God. I have never met somebody who's been in church all of their life, in the Church of Christ, in our local church, who was so confused about God and about salvation. Began to talk to her about what the gospel message is, about how we're all sinners, we deserve death and hell, but Christ died for our sins and that salvation is a free gift of God. She said to me, Pastor Braun, a light has come on. Baptism doesn't save. And I said, amen. And she said, I'd like to have that free gift right now. The same lady who came into my church carrying the weight of the world and crying, 69 years old, Gail, almost skipped out of the church last Wednesday. But listen, before she left, I said, Gail, no, we broadcast all of our services online. I'd love to send you a link. She said, oh, no, I don't want you to send me a link. I'm coming to church. She was there 10 o'clock Sunday morning, there again for the 11 o'clock service. She walked the aisle, 11 o'clock morning service, asked me to pray with her at the altar. Gail, being raised in a religion all her life, completely different because of the gospel. By the way, I don't remember what kind of mood I was when I went up to the church, but if you think Gail skipped out of the church, how do you think that I felt leaving the church? You want to battle discouragement? Share the gospel with others. Luke chapter 15, verse number 6. This is the story of the man with the sheep. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Boy, when we help the Lord, when we give the gospel, when we get to see folks saved, there's nothing that'll excite you like that. It'll get you out of that whole state of discouragement. Lastly, encourage and bless others. When you're down, encourage and bless others. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them, or do to them likewise. Do something for somebody else. Now, folks, I'm so sorry I've gone over time. But if I wouldn't have gotten these last points in, what's the use of talking about a problem if we don't have a solution? Now, the truth of the matter is, at one time or another, all of us have been discouraged. And if you haven't, someday soon, you're going to be at that place. You and I need to battle discouragement. The last point that I gave, if you and I would go encourage one another, that would make such a difference. Boy, if you'd encourage those that are officers in the church, those that have a position in the church, your preacher and his wife. Can I say this? By the way, I remember the last time I was here, I shook the preacher's wife's hand. Let me say this. I believe the toughest job in the church is the pastor's wife. You know, God called me to the ministry. He also gave me a thick hide. He called my wife to be my wife, not to be the church's wife. She sees and hears the criticisms and all these other things. Difficult place to be. Boy, encourage each other. If you and I would do that, what a difference it would make. We're not preaching on discouragement tonight. We talked about battling discouragement. Let me stop there. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to pray.